Today we're going to work on the terms of the upfront contract, and that's something that we touched on 2 weeks ago, but we're going to go into a little more detail today on what the upfront contract means. So we're going to talk about when you should make an upfront contract, an upfront contract using a ton, and we'll break down what that means, and then the rules for upfront contracts. And at the end of this, you'll be able to determine the five elements of an upfront contract, determining when's the best time to use it, understand and explain a ton, and explain acceptable outcomes of a sales meeting. Cool? So the rule in Sandler is there's no mutual mystification. So we talked a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was 3 weeks ago, about the dance. You guys remember the dance? What's the dance?
Between
buyers and sellers. Yeah. So the buyer, right, they walk in. What's the first thing they do? They lie to you, right? Sir, can I help you? Thanks for coming in. Are you looking for something? What do you say?
Just looking around.
I'm just looking, right? Bull crap, right? There's a reason you're there to buy. There's a reason you're there and you're there to buy. So they lie to you, they mislead you, they try to get the information, and after that, they go in the witness protection program, right? Like that's kind of what we experience, right? So that's the buyer side. We're the seller, whether we're selling a service, we're selling an offer, we're selling a listing, we're selling buying, right? We're the sellers. And we need to have a process, because if we don't have the process, then we fall into this default process. And we as buyers do it naturally. We as sellers need to shift that process, shift that programming, so that we can get an outcome we want. And the outcome we want is a yes or a no. And this group, Trevor's been with me the longest. Like, what's the worst case scenario?
They say no. Where
the worst case? It's not, yes is great, right? That's the best case.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Second best case maybe, is a no.
Maybe it's a time waster.
Maybe is the worst, right? Maybe is now you're just wasting your time. Now you're doing follow-ups. You're hoping. We've talked about updating your pipeline. You know, you got a bunch of C's in there. It's like, oh, you know, that's a maybe, that's a 3 month out, that's a 6 month out, or it's a never, but you just don't know, right? So we want to get rid of the maybes, and that's the no mutual mystification. So the five elements of the upfront contract is the purpose of the meeting. Explaining why you're there. And the purpose there is to move forward to decide whether we're gonna do business together or not. Second part of it is the prospect's agenda and expectations. So I figure out what they want, and make sure you can answer for them. And we'll go into more of these elements later on and how we phrase it. So find out what the prospect's agenda is for the meeting, find out what his expectations of you are. And after that, the third step is the salesperson agenda and expectations. And that's explaining to the prospect what you will do in the meeting and your expectations of the product and information you'll need from them in order to be able to help them. Time is the fourth thing. Make sure that we have the allotted time. You guys that have gone on multiple listing appointments, got the dogs barking, right? It's like, oh, I got to go pick up my kids in 20 minutes. My husband, like, you know, you walked in. Carlton, I was confused. You said you were going to be here with your wife. Oh, she had to go shopping. Like, that's the kind of stuff that comes up, right? So we got to make sure there's time commitment that you prepare for it. And so reconfirming it is like, hey, when we spoke on the phone, you said it's gonna be about 30 minutes to an hour. Is that still a good amount of time for you? And then the outcome. And the outcome, we've talked about it before. We don't close when we're using the system. We never close. It's a natural process, a part of the conversation. So terms of offer and contract are simple. Both you and the prospect must agree to the outcome for each stage of the contract. So when should you use an upfront contract? And the answer is all the time. Thank you, Carlton. So upfront contract set when you're before the phone call, during the initial phone call and beginning of the meeting, and then throughout the process. So it's kind of an exaggeration, but the example that they give in the class is, you know, Daniel wants to show me the backyard. And this is gonna be a very excessive example, right? But okay, Daniel, let's say we go to the backyard. What happens after that? And he's telling me what's gonna happen after that. So then when we go to the backyard, we can do exactly what he said. right? It's a really small micro contract, but part of the selling process is a series of mini commitments. And that's what you're getting throughout the process for the upfront contract. So on the phone, anytime you're having a meeting with a prospect, anytime you're doing a second step, right? If you're, you have the buyer consult and you meet with them, well, what's after the consult? Let's get qualified. Let's set the next appointment. Let's set, okay, hey, thanks for meeting with me today, Jesse. Let's go ahead and you're finishing it up. Let's go ahead and plan for this weekend, 10 o'clock, we'll go look at three to five houses. And that's it. That's your upfront contract, right? At the conclusion of the sale, and that's when you're asking for referrals, right? You plant the seed. Hey, you know, at the end of the sale, please, we do prefer to work by referrals. And at the conclusion of every meeting. So upfront does not mean have to be upfront. So this is something that I run into a lot personally, because I'm talking to prospects that I'm recruiting. And if I'm sitting down with them, having lunch with them, I'm not necessarily recruiting them at that moment. But then if I see there's an opportunity for us to work together, at that point, I'll bring up, hey, you know what? Forgive me. Let's go ahead and take a step back. What I like to do is try to discover what your expectations are of the broker and so on, right? And I go through that whole presentation or explanation again. So it doesn't have to be upfront. Best case is upfront, but not necessarily upfront. And then what this resolves is you don't have conflicting expectations, because they might be walking in, let's just say, for example, a listing appointment. They might be expecting you to just come in with a valuation and that's it. You're coming in hoping to get a listing. How far apart are you guys on your expectations? And if you walk in with those expectations and you don't discuss their expectations, you're walking out without what? Yeah. So they may expect a different presentation than you're prepared to make, and you may be forced to a situation of free consulting. And that's what we don't do. We don't give free advice. I'm not saying we never give information, right? We want to help as much as we can. But at the end of the day, we're not here to give free consultation. We're not sitting there telling them how to beat up the other agent, right? Or how to get the top dollar. We're telling them how we can get them top dollar. Is that clear? So the upfront contract, you want to remember the acronym a ton. And the simplest way to remember is I want to make a ton of money. Right? A ton. And a ton is appreciate, typically, obviously, naturally. Appreciate, typically, obviously, naturally. And so the example here would be, I appreciate your invitation for to meet about your annual needs. Typically, you'll want to discuss some questions you have for me. Obviously, I'll need to ask you some questions. And naturally, the way this will go is, okay? Let me take a step back. Even before we discuss this, we want to set an upfront contract for the upfront contract. It sounds kind of ridiculous, right? But it's what I like to do is, Alec, is it okay before we start, if I can kind of outline for you the process of the buyer presentation? Right, now we got commitment from him. Then I do the buyer presentation, right, which is gonna involve this. So appreciate, thank you to the prospect for meeting and verifying the time and the purpose. And what happens if you're saying invite, so I'm just, these are things I'm adding to my vocabulary, right? This is part of my vernacular. So if someone's coming into the office, it sounds weird to thank you for inviting me to your, right? So you just add to your world. Thank you for inviting me to your world. So I can learn more about your situation. So you should have that for appreciate. Thank you for inviting me. Typically, you want to know about my company's background, type of people we help, products and services we offer, type of results our clients have experienced by using our product or service. And as part of that, when you say this, you also want to ask, is that everything that you'd like to know, or is there anything else that I might have missed? So just simple, anything else? What else? And then the next step after that is obviously. So obviously, you want to know about, obviously I'm going to need to know about your background, your situation, other companies you worked with, are the main issues when it comes to selling your house, buying a house, whatever. And we all have the buyer console, not everyone here, but everyone in our office has the forms for the initial intake for the buyer presentation, listing presentation, and then cash offer appointment. So you're gonna ask those questions, but you're preparing them to let them know you're gonna be asking these questions. Because if you don't, then they're gonna say, hey, all right, what are you gonna give me? Or what are you gonna sell my house for? Or what do you think my house is worth? And I've gone in the appointments, incredibly high these. I wish I had these tools back then. All right, you're here. What do you think you can sell my house for? Like, well, let me talk to you about what we do. No, you called me, you said that we can do, you'll sell my house or you'll buy it yourself. What's the number? I was like, well, hang on, and just left, just went in the garage. But I wish I had these tools available, you know, to discuss and set those expectations.
So what, can you give us context around that? How would you approach it now then? Like, now that we know that situation.
So for this, I would say, hey, Trevor or Mr. Bradley, you know, it sounds like you're on page 7, I'm on page 2, can I just catch up to you? Would that be okay?
Sure.
Right, and then it kind of de-escalates you. Yeah. Or the other thing is, Trevor, obviously, I did something wrong to upset you. I really apologize for that. What I like to do is just kind of go over what we do first before I can, you know, answer whatever you're going through, just to kind of get you down. And also tone, right, to de-escalate the matter. Also, some people are going to be crazy. You don't want to do business with them anyway. And then naturally, there are two possible outcomes, and this is where we want to remove the I'll think about it. Right? We don't want to, I got to think about it. Got to talk to the missus, this or that. We want to say, naturally, one of two things can happen. If I don't see this as not being a good fit for us, would you be okay if I tell you this is not going to be a good fit for us? That we shouldn't work together, you should work with somebody else. That's going to blow their mind, right? Like, when's the last time a salesperson said that? On the other hand, you may feel like we're not a good fit for you. Would you feel comfortable telling me that we're not a good fit for you? And in the event that we do find that this is, it makes sense for us to move forward together, then, and then going, you know, we list your house, we work together on the buyer side, we do a cash offer. So a ton. So the rules, a strong upfront contract gives you the opportunity to deal with your biggest fears up front. So one of the things that we also have in here is, Carlton, you know, my biggest fear is that we're gonna sit here together and go through this, our appointment, and you're just gonna go with the guy after me. You know, is that a reasonable fear, whatever? And it gives them an opportunity to talk, and that's when you can kind of button up that if we agree that it makes us do business together, then we're gonna do business together. And, you know, or the other one example is, you know, my biggest fear, Carlton, we come to terms, and you got these two other agents coming over to your house. Who's gonna make that call to let them know they didn't get the deal? Okay, well, it seems like that'd be an uncomfortable conversation for you to make. Would you want me to make that call for you if we decide to do business together? Yeah. Right? So it goes over the biggest fear. Squash the other agents that are coming after you. Strong offer contract guarantees, not 100%, but like 90%, there'll be no interruptions during your sales call. Right? They understood to set an hour for this, 45 minutes for this, 30 minutes for it. There should be no interruptions for that. And then a strong offer contract requires a decision be made at each intermediate meeting. Now, the one example is a high C personality. If you can close them, great. But a high C personality, there's just, they really need to think about it. All you can do there is have a strong upfront contract for when you're gonna follow up with them with a decision. So let's see, the highest C in here. I'm gonna go with Brian. So Brian needs to think about it, right? So I'm gonna say, hey Brian, I understand you need to think about it. Let me do this. You go back, you know, go through the notes, whatever we need to review. And I'm gonna call you on Thursday. And at Thursday, by that time, you'll have decided whether it makes sense to do business together. Is that fair?
Yeah.
All right, and that's it. So we're gonna call you Thursday, 10 a.m. I'm calling you, all right? But that's only for high C's. Everyone else, we still wanna go for the close right away. So that's really it. The upfront contract is not, how do I put it? It's a really, really simple topic, but it's also challenging to implement. So I went through it much faster than I thought I would. What questions do you guys have? What challenges do you have using it? And also, this works in your personal life.
It's always worked so far since I've been doing it.
Yeah, that front contract. So can you talk about how you've been using it?
Well, since I don't talk to him over the phone, what is my first time meeting him, so I just set the expectation now, and I always ask them for permission, things we're going to go through, and this leads me into my listing presentation, so
right.
I was going through cash offers. And then one question I added to it was if they were only showing cash offer, or if they wanted to go all the options so they're not limited. Oh, so what else are you going to be talking about? And that opens up the doorway for everything possible.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, but the thing with that is now our appointments go longer. So then I ask, hey, do you have at least an hour? I may not need all that time.
Right. Yeah, and that's a nuance too, is that if you ask for 30 minutes and you take 30 minutes, hey, it's been 30 minutes. Do you have another 15, 20 minutes for us to keep going?
All right,
so that upfront contract. Yeah. I know it sounds really simple in concept, right? But I guarantee it's gonna be a game changer. Let's see what happens. Okay, so we talked about the biggest fears. This is the one step that's helped me the most. Now that we've set the upfront contract and we've gone through all these other steps in it, we'll talk about it later. But we talk about the pain, and stop me if I'm repeating myself. So Trevor, it sounds to me like you need to sell your house in the next 30 days, 15 to 30 days, because you need the money to pay off these bills, which is stressing you and your wife out. You guys are looking to have enough money to go to move into the apartment, to be closer to whatever school, so that you know, you feel happier with the school system that your daughter is going to. And we'll go with some other, what's the third one? Whatever, right? We go through the feelings. Is that, did I get that? Does that sound about right?
Yes.
And how important is it to you that we can get those things done?
It's imperative.
Okay. So if I can help you get you the money you need so you can move 15 to 30 days and move in the apartment, what happens next?
I guess we take action.
Before. And this is the natural, right? The tying the ribbon on the fire contract. You set that expectation up front and you go in the very end. I'm not asking, okay, Trevor, we can do that. We could do that. When do you want to start? Or I can get you your cash offer and we can get you enough money to do this. So what do you think? That's like the worst question, right? But I'm very guilty. That was like my crap closing question I've been using forever. So what do you think? When you want to start?
I think that's like assertive enough, but it leaves too vague, too open. They're like,
right.
Whoa, I don't know, how does this happen? Well, there's just not enough definitive direction there.
Or the other stuff I've used, like, so you want to photos this weekend after. But this is stuff I was using, you know, and it works, but it's not able to overcome those, you know, challenges, issues we were having when it wasn't working, right? So this is where you go to, so what happens next? He's like, well, I still gotta talk to my, you know, my sister's other friend who's an agent too. It's like, okay, hey, we should have done a better job like discovering that earlier. But then you go back to, I'm so confused. I thought you were looking for this and this. You said that was really imperative. Do you reckon? And you're writing this stuff down, right? It's imperative to you. So is it not as important to you than we thought? So it's just, we're addressing, we're going back to whatever, right? But it gets us back in the game. So instead of having the, I'll think about it, you don't get I'll think about it when we're saying what happens next. But you do, but not as much. That makes sense? So, Ben, when's the most obvious place to use an upfront contract?
They're in a lot of pain, a lot of pressure. They have a lot going on, stress in their life, and you can get out quick.
Well, So for you, well, because you're door knocking,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the foreclosure, they have to sell in 2 weeks.
Right. So I think here, for door knocking, I mean, I think for probably we'll start off with, this is probably a bad time. Right, we talked about that. Mm-hmm. It's probably a bad time. And it's like, yes, no, whatever it is. Then you kind of go into your thing, right? And say, hey, what, you know, I appreciate you spending a few minutes with me. Typically, you go over their situation. Obviously, I'm going to find out more about your situation. But I would find a way to work the upfront contract if you're door knocking.
Okay.
Right? And they say yes or no. But then you're not getting as much, I think, potentially fewer doors slammed in your face. And then B, easier follow-ups. Yeah. Right? Like you talk to them. I said the next step was they need to talk to their spouse, right? Because you knocked on the door when their spouse wasn't home, whatever. But now we said, okay, so naturally, if this makes sense, I'm going to follow up with you and you can talk to your husband, blah, blah, blah.
Easiest upfront contract.
Mm-hmm.
I would say on the phone when I book a consultation, like, you know, hey, I'm going to send you a calendar invite. Can you please confirm receive that? And I'm also going to follow up with you the morning of to give you a reminder.
Yeah.
Like, so that, I guess that's like a small upfront contract.
Right. And for you guys that don't know, Trevor is like one of the strongest agents in the office. So like this guy's the master of setting and keeping appointments and educating clients. I could definitely do a better job of that. Anybody else? Ideas? When's a good time to use the upfront contract? All the time. That's true. Right. Got to find ways to work it in with my kids.
Simple lead follow up. Like, you never let that conversation go without having a follow up step. Mm.
Yeah, we've always done the next step, right?
Right.
So we've always next stepped our clients.
Which, if I'm interpreting this right, is like the action plan is the upfront contract,
right? Mm-hmm. Right.
In a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when we meet next time, that's a great, actually, reminder. When you're setting the appointment, if you give them homework beforehand, or at the end of the call, when we meet on Thursday at 3:00, you are going to have whatever you guys discussed. So you're reminding them of that. So then when you meet with them and you start off, this is a defense against them like jumping all over you because you've given homework. Oh, hey, well, hang on before we start there. We talked about some of the things we were going to get done beforehand. Did you get a chance to look at those? Right?